Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us and get your vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Ugh, we were supposed to be together today, the four
of us. We were.
I had jeans on that I was going to wear.
Wow.
They're still on.
Wow.
I wasn't going to do that for you guys.
I had an outfit picked. It wasn't jeans, but it was from my rental box of clothes that I used.
We were gonna film ourselves and maybe do some fun little videos with it, but not today, bitch. Not today because of Omicron. This is crazy. I feel like yesterday. I feel like I can't get off TikTok without people telling me that everybody has COVID. New York City is overwhelmed, swarmed with Omicron. What is? It's got March 2020 vibes, or am I overreacting?
Do you know anyone with COVID personally?
Nope.
Yep,
I know a lot of people. So the New York comedy scene is riddled with COVID right now at this point. And then, of course, because I'm sick in the head, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I haven't been doing enough shows because I don't have COVID.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Another gig I haven't booked.
Looks like all the cool kids have COVID.
I called my manager this morning. I'm like, why the fuck don't I have COVID?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing? What was I gonna say? To me, it is not March 2020 vibes because a lot of my friends have COVID, but everyone's vaccinated. A lot of them are boosted. I don't feel like anyone's gonna die, and also I'm like, well, I'm gonna keep living my life.
I feel.
I'm not gonna not see friends. You know, I got that damn booster hurt so much.
Really? Like afterwards, or when you got it?
Afterwards. When I got it, I'm such a baby with shot needles that I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, and then the guy like was like, it's over, like please get out of here and go sit down. But no, it was like so I'm like, I'm gonna like go to dinner and see if, I don't know.
Terrible. We met somebody who's the first time they went to get their first dose, they got like an email afterwards like, we actually, something happened and we can't guarantee that this was like frozen for long enough, so like, can you come back? And so he did, and he has his booster, so he's like, he has four.
I'm so jealous. COVID just stepped to me. For me, it's like nothing will ever be March of 2020 vibes because we know so much more about the virus at this point. So it's like, I have shifted to spending more time outdoors and like, I was eating indoors and stuff, whatever, pretty regularly. I'm not like 100% not eating indoors, but like I've been shifting to hanging out outside a little bit more. Like,
unfortunately, because of climate change, it is 60 degrees.
It is so nice outside today.
More diligent with my mask, like coming in and out of my building, like I'm re-upping like more of my things that we know work, but nothing will ever be as scary as March of 2020 when like we were all wiping down our packages and like had no idea what anything was, you know?
Washing groceries and like scared to take walks.
Do you guys watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? Did you watch the episode where they find out he was a COVID hoarder?
Yeah.
So funny. But it's just an episode where it's like years later, and then it's like forever now. It's like if you're ever like at a house party or somebody and you open somebody's like closet and you find all of like this hand sanitizer or a mask, it's like, you're a COVID hoarder. In March 2020, you were one of those bastards who bought everything.
Oh my God, that's
either
so funny.
That or they were just like, or they were already a hoarder.
True.
Like, you know.
Yeah, and it's right. Yeah. Don't make only assumptions about hoarders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's they could have been original. Yeah, the COVID hoarders were appropriating hoarding.
Yeah. I mean, I think I see those extreme couponing definitely post-COVID. I was like, anybody who had a bunch of antibacterial wipes in their house and like wiped everything down, I'm like, okay, bubble boy. But like, but guess what? They're on top. There is a really viral video of Naomi Campbell.
Have you ever seen?
Oh my God. Yes.
On her seat on the airplane.
wearing a hazmat suit, wearing a mask, and everyone made so much fun of her. And the joke was on us, everyone.
Yeah, the joke was on us. Naomi Campbell was right.
Naomi Campbell was right. She was right about Tyra. She was right about everything.
So that wouldn't have really helped her with COVID.
Being right about Tyra?
Wiping down everything. Being right about Tyra. This is a completely different thing.
Wait for a follow-up on that.
So it would have.
Yeah, every negative meme on her was definitely people regretted those. But yeah, I think this was I'm glad we had this conversation at the top, because I'm sure other people are feeling worried. But like, you're right, it's not, we can't be defeatist. It is not March 2020 vibes, but it just seems like there's a lot of hysteria in New York City, especially. And I know there are some other states where hospitalizations are already going up in the Midwest as well. But the number of people in New York City who have tested positive for COVID-19 has doubled over the past 3 days. Which is really crazy, but it is worth noting that New Yorkers are more likely to get tested. I mean, last weekend was famously SantaCon, which I think definitely contributed to this spread. That is a yearly event where people gather. They gather very, very closely, and they're definitely not doing any mitigation
measures.
And they
definitely share mouth germs, whether it directly or by just kind of vomiting in the streets.
No, I think they probably have exchanges directly through their nose. It is SantaCon. And Sammy's alma mater has shut down. Cornell University, we're done. Go home.
Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, they're just, you're done.
They're not sending students home, but they're like, we're not doing finals here. We're not doing anything here.
But don't worry, the finals will still happen. They'll find a way to grade you. In my experience. And then they'll be like, excuse me, will you donate to our alumni association?
Yeah, well, I got that. And like, okay, yeah, donate to my student loans, assholes.
Yeah. University of Delaware finds me everywhere I go.
Everywhere
I go. It's unbelievable.
They'll call me for years after I move. Like, what's your new address? What's your new address? I never tell them. And then one day I'll get a letter to the right address. They found
it.
They'll
find it.
Well, hopefully Cornell is saving some money on maintenance while they shut down.
Exactly.
And they won't need my money.
Exactly.
Oh, they're still going to ask for your money.
They're going to need it for something. They need it for plenty. So first, it feels like we have to take a moment to mention Bell Hooks, who passed away yesterday at the age of 69. The cause was end-stage renal failure, but if you ever took a women's studies class or just went to college or ever followed a feminist Instagram account, you know about Bell Hooks.
Truly.
She is the most iconic feminist, known for all sorts of writing and really chiefly incorporating the needs of working class Black women into mainstream feminism. She had a really big role in that. But she wrote all sorts of stuff. Like, she wrote a lot of, if you need a good breakup book, go read a Bell Hooks book. She wrote a lot about like womanhood and love, and just she wrote about everything. Just a titan. I can't believe she's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like one of the cool things about her is like she did speak to Black womanhood specifically, but also her books were so universal that it showed the way that like intersectional feminism is true feminism. Because like once you read a book that was like centered that way, you saw how it like incorporated so much experience for everyone else. So love Bell Hooks.
And yeah, like I think that something about her and her writing is that like it's these complex abstract things that are really like not watered down, but like really accessible to all kinds of people. And like I think that she's had a resurgence, like you were saying, on Instagram and stuff, because, you know, her quotes are so memeable and quotable and like short and concise and get to the point and really make. And one of like my favorite accounts was like Saved by the Bell Hooks, you know, which is like they use Saved by the Bell images with Bell Hooks.
Oh, my God.
It's, like, it's so funny. And it's just talking about, it's just like, you know, it is like memeable, smart, like small little snippets of like really complicated feminist theory that for so long people made it seem like it's so inaccessible and like so ivory tower and no one can really relate. And then you had her really like break things down in like simple terms of what it means, you know, like about masculinity, class, love, all this cool stuff. So again, insanely missed and such a huge impact on so many people.
Yeah, definitely. So hard pivot,
We are going to talk about Josh Duggar today. He's sort of.
Wow, like the hardest pivot.
I had nothing to soften that with. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely
sometimes
nothing.
It's hard to do the news.
You could have, okay. You could have said Oprah, then just.
Oh, right. There definitely could have been an Oprah barrier somehow. Because Oprah does, I'm sure Oprah and Bell Hooks were friends. And Oprah does play into the Josh Duggar case.
Yes, tell us.
So we're going to be, Josh Duggar, I mean, there's a lot to talk about here. There's certainly something that's kind of timely. So Josh Duggar has been convicted for images showing the sexual abuse of children. I'm going to use the term child sex abuse images, which I've recently come across and obviously seems to be designed to avoid saying child pornography, because obviously that's weird. That's icky. Kids aren't performing in pornography. Yeah. But when you talk about the specific charges, that is the phrasing. So I'm going to try to avoid it. But I believe child sex abuse images is like the preferred term right now. So he did it. He did that. He had those.
And he, whatever it's called, he did it.
He did. Yeah. Whatever you can imagine. And he faces 20 years in prison for this. And this was crazy before we get into Josh Duggar specifically. But in the Western Arkansas district where he was tried, 7% of the cases that they try in total involve sex abuse images.
I knew you were going to say that. And I think we'll get to why, maybe, in this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Yeah. Wait, sorry. So, wait, break it down for someone stupid.
So
the crimes in Arkansas.
Western Arkansas.
In Western Arkansas.
If there are 100 crimes, then 7 of them involve child sex abuse images.
Wow.
That are tried in this area. So I guess these are pretty serious crimes. I mean, I assume that's noteworthy because they put it in the article. Maybe there are other areas where it's higher, but it's certainly pretty higher than you want it to be nationwide.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe there's just like one really effective detective in that region who's just like known for busting child sex abuse image cases.
Yeah, true. So this was a federal case, and Duggar was caught via an undercover investigation. Let's back up a moment. So Josh Duggar was featured in a reality show on TLC with his family called 19 Kids and Counting that ran from 2008 to 2015. When this was on, we kind of all acted like it was normal. Like, oh,
did you watch this?
I did not. I definitely have caught a few episodes, but I wasn't like a fan that watched it repeatedly, though I know people that did. And found it interesting.
Yeah, one of my best friends is like very obsessed with it. I'm like,
really?
What is the appeal?
I think the appeal is like there's just so many goddamn kids. Yeah. And then they're super religious too.
Yeah,
it is confusing.
There is a specific appeal about like families with tons of children. Like there's this family on TikTok, and I think that they've adopted all of their kids, and they have 11 kids, and they just have so many followers just showing like how they feed them, just like how they live their life. So I think that was part of the appeal, just people marveling at it.
It's like having a TV show with like a ton of characters. Like, of course it's appealing. You have like new dynamics and personalities. Yeah.
Sammy is explaining why Marvel is popular.
Yeah. Oh God, the Duggar cinematic universe.
But it's also like, and they're super, Dark. But they are also super religious. And I think that is also pretty fascinating too, because it's a certain kind of Christianity where like they're wearing like dresses and the long hair and modesty and all that stuff. So I think that's also like a glimpse too. It's not like they're normal people, like we're quote unquote normal, like they don't go to regular school or anything.
Right. I used to watch the TL shows about the Amish. I loved those.
There's like a kind of like a freak show element to it a little bit. Like, and there is a long history of families being famous for like having a bunch of kids, and then like a family getting famous or getting like a deal to like win diapers because they've had like an ass load of kids and people are interested in that. So it feels like a continuation of like that world of like weird, like almost like freakish fascination with weirdos.
Yeah, but you're
so
right.
That is what TLC, I think, like was.
Well, that's how they got this show. The Duggars were sort of like local fascinations. Even before they got this TLC show, they were on like numerous like TV specials. And then they caught the interest of Oprah's production team, and they were going to go on Oprah in 2006. But there was an anonymous email sent to Oprah Winfrey's Harpo Studios, which alleged that the oldest child, Josh, was known to be molesting young girls in his family and outside of his family, and that the family just like was not what they seemed. Oprah's studio immediately alerted the Arkansas Child Abuse Hotline, the Department of Human Services. They canceled the Duggar's family's appearance on the show. Days later, this was again in this was in 2006, Josh and his dad, Jim Bob. Jim Bob is the the patriarch.
Jim Bob. These names are also stupid.
They all start with J. Yeah. They all start with J. So they basically, they went to the police. I mean, this is just, the parents are very involved in an interesting way here. So the parents go to the police and they're like, this happened when Josh was a teenager in the years of 2002 and 2003. We know that he sexually abused his siblings when he was a teenager and we got him counseling for it. You know, they're like, we consulted with church elders. We went to, you know, those put teens to work camps. I guess you're going to like work the pedophilia away.
Yeah,
right. I don't know if it's pedophilia if you're also a minor, but this is what's crazy. According to Arkansas law, child sex abuse charges for offenses must be filed within 3 years of being reported to a police officer to be within the statute of limitations. Mm. When in 2006 they went and said, okay, this happened. So in 2003, Jim Bob and Josh had actually gone to meet with a friend who was a state trooper, and they told him what happened. This state trooper didn't do anything, to my knowledge. Like he felt that it was just one thing. He thought that it was something that he could get over. But because of that specific contact with law enforcement, the statute started then and it had run out. So no charges could be filed against the Duggar, who was, I think, 14 or 15 at the time. That state trooper happens to now be serving 50 years in prison for child sex abuse.
Oh, my God.
Well, that might be why he didn't do anything about it.
Oh my lord, this
story is littered with stuff like that.
Was he connected to the family in like a family friend?
It's just called like he's always referred to as acquaintance. So like this, I mean, okay, here's the thing. It seems like the parents were sort of like, shit, like this is bad, we need to figure out how to like approach this with our son and our young kids. But at no point was anyone like, they, you know, they get into details about how they separated them. Nothing happens. Nothing happens to the kid other than he goes to, you know, labor camp for Christian teens. And in 2008, and just 2 years later,
labor camp for Christian teens.
Sounds like a South Park episode that actually, literally, I'm pretty sure was.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, it's probably like the type, probably actually, he probably should have been sent to wherever Paris Hilton had to go. It was probably just even gentler than that. But so in 2008, a couple years later after this, the Duggars were given the TLC show 19 Kids and Counting. Okay, fast forward to 2015. The police report about these allegations comes out. In Touch magazine somehow makes a FOIA request and it gets these. And at the time, everybody's like, yes, this happened. The family admitted that four of the victims were their daughters. Josh addressed it, apologized for the pain he caused. But then the family made it mostly about the fact that that his record as a juvenile had been released, and they were kind of successful with that. Like, they were able to get that destroyed. These siblings, even sisters that were victimized by Josh, were like, actually, we were mostly just re-traumatized by this police report coming out, which I'm sure that's like true to an extent, but they were like, we've forgiven him, everything's fine. And he couldn't be charged, but the part about him being a juvenile is sort of confusing or complicated because he was 18 when they told authorities about the abuse and then nothing was acted on. So also at that time, Duggar was working at a lobby that was like a Christian conservative family values lobby. During that time, his dad, Jim Bob, was running for a state Senate seat as a Republican, running on a platform of treating rape and incest as capital crimes.
They always are.
That would face the day. Always are saying that. Josh got married when I was 17. And he has 7 children with his wife, Anna. But later in 2015, there was an Ashley Madison hack.
I was going to bring up that. Never forget the Ashley Madison hack.
That shit was crazy.
And that had Duggar's credit card information. He immediately said that he'd begun watching porn, and then said, I started watching porn. And as a result, I was unfaithful to my wife. I don't think.
With adults in it, right?
Yes.
Okay. We have to ask.
I mean, he admitted to just watching pornography, which, you know, according to like his purity culture is bad enough. I think there are probably many of married people that watch pornography without cheating on their spouse. Some people watch pornography with their spouse. Some people do pornography with their spouse. It's not porn.
Amanda, yes. Let's go down. Who watches? Let's do the what is it? Green Eggs and Ham with the pornography. Green Eggs watch pornography in a train. Watch pornography in a plane.
No, Dr. Seuss is canceled, Millie.
Oh, geez.
Oh, I forgot about that. I need like a running list. Can someone keep a list?
Honestly, Duchess will make so much money if you have a running list of who's canceled.
Oh my God. Yeah. If we could just like SEO optimize it and put a bunch of ads on it. Ooh, that means I need to add that for my holiday.
And then, but also tiers of cancellation. Like who's really canceled and also like people are trying to cancel big and I don't know. The
movie. Oh, I just saw a Daily Mail notification about that.
About Chris Noth? Yeah, we'll get into it.
No, I was saying Big the movie with Tom Hanks.
Oh my God, yeah.
I didn't even hear about that one.
Aren't the names of everyone who's canceled inscribed on the wall at Barry Weiss's university?
Oh. That's where it can be found. That's where it can be found.
Touche.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I bet Josh Duggar is on it.
Oh, well, he's certainly on the list.
Thought policing Josh Duggar.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
So also, where was it? Okay, so Ashley Madison. We're at Ashley Madison. Jeez, just setting the scene here.
We're in 2015. We're like still 7 years away.
I know. Don't worry. Actually, we're going to catch right up to this year when Duggar was arrested on those federal charges of receiving and possessing child pornography or child sex abuse image. This was right before the birth of his seventh child, which is just like, oh my God, if my husband got arrested and wasn't allowed to be around kids when I was about to have my seventh child, I would be furious. But obviously, he was let out on bail, but not allowed to be around his kids alone. And as we know, he was convicted. And once again, this disgrace aligned with his dad's political ambitions because Jim Bob made another run at Arkansas State Senate and he lost. He came in third in the Arkansas State Senate primary.
In a three-person race?
Probably.
For state senator of Arkansas, Doug, if you can't win that shit,
I know.
Quit.
I know. That must mean he really probably just got votes from his family, which for him could
that's like
almost win
it. It's a large amount. I was looking before we podcasted. There are Grand Duggars who are adults and there's a lot of voting power.
Yeah, that's actually pretty pathetic that he didn't win because that's definitely hundreds of votes and I can't imagine turnout is this high. But the reason I wanted to talk about this today was kind of in the context of purity culture. I mean, this person was raised to be really oppressed. I mean, whenever he admits to things, he's not really like he apologizes for the pain he caused, but he's mostly apologizing to like God and for defying his own values. So do we think his upbringing here contributed to the path his life took or that he pursued, I guess?
My guess is that this is like a nature nurture situate, you know, I think it's probably both. I think that, you know, people have urges that are not moral or legal, you know, and again, there's questions about what is over what line in whose eyes. Because again, like we're even sitting here saying, like, is it really pedophilia if he was a juvenile? It's like, it doesn't matter. The fact is that the person has certain urges. And I don't think that he would have not had those urges if he weren't raised in a purity culture, but I think it probably changes the way that someone relates to their own urges. And that, I don't think it necessarily changes what he would have done necessarily, but it changes probably the steps he took to control it or hide it, or and probably the way he views himself in the aftermath of these charges. I don't know. It's hard to fathom, but, you know, his whole family grew up in this, and it's not like they're all having these urges. So, and it's not like everyone in a who grows up in a purity culture does. So it's the combination.
Well, I mean, to me, it just seems like he was clearly abused by someone in his community, and they're not. We're only finding out about this because of the Duggars' high profile, but it would kind of be run of the course, like family shit. If he wasn't trying to be famous, you know what I mean? If they weren't trying to be in the spotlight, this would be run of the mill stuff. And then certainly whoever abused him was not under spotlight, and they got to continue. I mean, even like people in his community, like that state trooper, continued on abuse for all this stuff. So I think where it comes in is like, I mean, it is this cycle of abuse, and like, it's like what Sammy's saying, it's urges, and you know, there is, but it's just like, if you have shame around all things that have to do with sexuality and stuff like that, then like, you know, it's kind of like, why, I might as well do this because all of it is bad or something. And then it's also like, yeah, if you're getting married at 17 years old, like, you're still a child yourself, you know, you're not developmentally like formed. I mean, you know, all three of you, you know, Sammy's married, Elise's married, like, what, who are you as a person now versus who you were at 17? Like, how much and even like sexuality.
We're the same age as Josh Duggar, and he has 7 kids.
And exactly. So it's just like, I do think that, you know, I think that the culture that he was raised in, you know, he probably has these whatever, but, you know, I think that the culture he was raised in did not certainly help. And it is not providing like healthy outlets for, you know, like, it's just natural that people have sex and want to masturbate and do all that stuff. But, you know, under this like super rigid, like getting married at 17, having 7 children by 33, like that's all like a lot. So I don't know.
Also, it's the culture of silence around it, because it's like, if you can't talk about it, if you can't talk about any sex at all, and then sex the way it's supposed to be, consensual, pleasurable, for whatever purposes, that is all pushed aside in favor of sex is bad and you better be reproducing. And so there's no room to talk about anything that deviates from that. And so no one's there to even necessarily tell him that it's bad or that you can't do that, especially if that's how what's happening to him.
Yeah, I agree with, I think that, like, you know, as you were saying, who knows what combination of different things lead to a person turning out like Josh Duggar. But I do think what this situation says about purity culture is how, like, the people around him react and how they acted like it was like, yeah, this is a bad thing, but it's just kind of like a dirty little secret, as is all sex. And it's like, no, this is like sexual abuse that's happening, and this person is sick, and we and like, imagine if he had like a proper intervention at 14, you know, like,
exactly.
Like, if someone had actually been like, okay, you are clearly, like, not, you've gotten bad messages around sex, you don't understand what consent is. Like, if someone had actually stepped in at that moment, we might be in a different situation. But they just shoved it under the rug as if they found him, like, making out in cars and were mad about that. And it's like, no, he's abusing his sisters.
Yeah. And it also, like, I didn't want to get too into the details on the podcast because they're probably very triggering, but, like, it did escalate. You know, he said that, you know, the parents said that it started with mostly his sisters, like, when they were asleep, which isn't okay or acceptable or anything, but they were like, we can manage that. We can get that to stop. And then it, you know, it became cases where he was, like, physically trapping his sisters and like not letting him, or doing it to people that were not in the family. Again, if it's in the family, awake or asleep, there's not really like a range, but things, it wasn't going away. It was getting worse and he wasn't getting the message. And again, with the silence around it, and I'm not sure exactly what happened here. Obviously the parents found out what happened, but the girls, the daughters were getting that message too. Mm-hmm. And like, what are they going to do? Like, they're probably scared to tell their parents or somebody that they're being touched or they're going through something, because they might think, if they don't mind it or they are so ashamed by it, they're not going to come forward either. And so throughout this with Josh Duggar, when you read about how it would happen, it's just, we talk a lot about like consequences and who gets consequences, and we joke about it with like cancellation, but it's like this guy, it kept getting worse, and multiple stages to really intervene and keep him away from people. Like, people just thought it would get better and it didn't. It just got worse and worse, and it seems like this was tricky with consequences. I don't know what happens to minors when they sexually abuse other children, but like, it's just, if this were happening in my family, let me tell you something. I would not go on TV. I would not accept a TV show. Yeah, I would
always do it.
Become a reality television star.
Yeah.
He's like a teenage Harvey Weinstein, it sounds like, the way you're describing the shit he did. Yeah.
Which is really dark and a serious issue that needs to be addressed, which has been proven because he continued to have a sexual interest in children, it appears.
I don't think this is the kind of thing where he's like, even predatory in the sense of like, I wanna, you know, it's a power. It doesn't even feel oddly like a power trip. It feels like just this uncontrollable like obsession almost.
Well, whenever he's spoken out about it, and again, he's been like he'll say very directly, like, I'm a huge hypocrite. This whole time I was preaching this and I was doing this, which obviously makes no excuses for it, but I guess the tragedy of it is that there were so many victims and the family could have dealt with it in a different way. And I just, it seems like putting you on TV for 7 years and modeling yourself as a perfect family is not the way to do it. Like, imagine if at any point one of the daughters was like, you know what, I don't like this. I don't really want to be around Josh anymore. Like, what would that have meant for the show, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows like such a dereliction of duty from the parents. Like, number one, not getting him help. But number two, it's like, you're going to put your teenage son on TV while all this is going on? You're going to put your traumatized daughters on TV while all this is going on? Like, this should be an all hands on deck. Like, our family needs to deal privately and also, like, with medical professionals about a situation. Not, like, let's go on the Oprah show.
Well, you know, and this is, you know, I'm one of six kids.
Right.
And a lot of people would say that's a lot. But it's just like, you know, I'm not surprised, like, they probably needed the money. And it's also like, this is what happens when you have a lot of children, is that, like, you don't really have the capacity or the bandwidth to really dedicate or, like, solve issues like this, you know, because you're fucking, I'm sure that the parents were concerned and tapped out. They probably went up to him and it's like, oh, hey, stop this. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to stop. And then, you know, they went on and dealt with the other 10 children. And it's like, there's a reason why people, or what is it, 18 children. So it's like, there's a reason why people don't have this many children. It's really difficult to give each child the attention, the, like, psychological care and need or help that they need to develop. Like, you know, and I mean, even as somebody who was in a family of six, like, I totally felt that. Like, anytime I needed something, my parents were just completely checked out because they're dealing with five other wild and crazy people.
Yeah, I mean, the most similar parallel to what was going on here with this many children is, like, a foster care home or a care home for kids who need help. That happens there as well. And the kids aren't related, and they probably don't have much of a stable childhood. But, like, I mean, they're so weird. Like, they said that they became, like, this intense about having kids because she got pregnant when she was on birth control and, like, miscarried. And they were like, this is our sign that we should just let God handle it. But what was going to be your other point, Millie?
No, I mean, that's so disturbing. No, I was going to say, like, on another, just to pivot a little bit, but, like, we were talking a few weeks ago I was just thinking about, like, how many TV production companies are, like, involved with crimes or know about crimes before.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yeah.
When I was just thinking about, like, obviously the Jinx and then the Anthony Broadwater, like, Alice Siebel yeah. story.
I was actually just thinking about that because it's so interesting to see, like, that he was able to be put away based off of a really shoddy, like, identification by someone who was very recently traumatized. Where, like, he was able to be put away by that, whereas this was, like, multiple allegations, a personal confession, all mm-hmm. of this stuff, and nothing happens to this person.
Well, yeah, for many exactly. years. And then I'm just like, there's no way that TLC didn't know
I
about
agree.
This.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's a lot of disturbing things about this. The most disturbing thing is probably not that this teenager wasn't, like, arrested or served time for this, because we talk about like restorative justice a lot and abolition yeah. a lot. And so maybe the solution here wasn't this teenager being locked up, but the solution, like the steps that were taken were not adequate at all. That is our show. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.